This is Truth Be Told. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and as always, a heartfelt welcome to this installment of Hand of Felt Ministries' free audio teaching outreach. As you are most likely already logged on to handoffelt.com, I would encourage you to peruse the site at your leisure, after you've listened to this teaching, of course, and see what other nuggets of truth that you might be able to find here. As you may know by now, we've been on a journey as of late. No, it has not been a journey of self-discovery. It has not been a journey to discover our inner child. It has not been a journey to reacquaint ourselves with the power of positive thinking or the benefits of self-esteem. It has been a journey of infinitely greater import that, well, to be honest, all of these put together that I previously mentioned don't even pale in comparison to this one. And it has been a journey wherein our stated goal is to rediscover and to reacquaint ourselves with Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and our Savior, He who hung and died on a cross only to rise again on the third day, ascend into the heavens, stand at the right hand of God, who is soon to return for His bride, His chosen, those who have been redeemed from everlasting darkness and destruction, and through Him and in Him brought into the glorious light of truth and the kingdom of heaven. Today, we will be exploring yet another attribute of Christ Jesus, another facet of His personality, and this new attribute that we will venture to explore today is that of Christ, the source of eternal life. Now, before we proceed, I need to stress the singularity of Christ as the source of eternal life. He is not one of many sources. He is not one of many paths. He is not one of many means by which we can attain eternal life. He is singular, unique, the one and only who can bring us into His kingdom. I know that it's popular nowadays to beat around the bush, to diplomatically try to double talk our way out of every uncomfortable situation, but there are certain things that we must stand for even at the risk of being hated, even at the risk of being shunned and otherwise persecuted, and the singularity of Christ as the only one who can save. The singularity of Christ as the only truth, the only way, and the only life must be one of those things for which we must be willing to die. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And no man goes to the Father but by Him. If this were not true, then Jesus would be a liar, because it is He who uttered these words. Now, between believing Jesus at His word, or the surgically enhanced Mr. Schuller, I'll go with Jesus on this one. Not for nothing, but I never did trust a man who could never frown. I'm just saying. So, back to Jesus, the source of eternal life. The one who is able to give eternal life. And as a springboard to our study, we go to the Gospel according to John and read the words of none other than Christ Jesus, who said the following in John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, throughout the New Testament, we see instances wherein Jesus is speaking about eternal life. This passage in the Gospel according to John is by no means singular, and whether we journey to the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, or the Gospel according to Luke, we will inevitably rediscover the words of Christ and His assertion that it is He who can give eternal life. It is He who will give eternity. And due to this, His sheep, those who know His voice, will never perish. The message in this text is very clear indeed. Jesus does not want us for a few days, or for a few weeks, or a few months, or a handful of years, or even for this lifetime. Jesus wants us for all eternity. I give them eternal life. Five little words that make all the difference in the world. Five little words that ought to reignite hope, that ought to reignite passion and peace and joy in our hearts. I give them eternal life. It is not another who gives eternal life. It is not another who is able to give it. It is Christ who gives eternal life. And in this, we hope and glory. So, what else can we learn from these five words? What else can they teach us? The first thing that these five words can teach us is that eternal life exists. Jesus does not promise what does not exist. He said, I give them eternal life. And so we have the certainty that eternal life exists and that we can attain it. The existence of eternal life was also affirmed by the prophet Daniel in one of the most beautiful affirmations concerning eternity. Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3, I believe, say this, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever." The contemporaries of Jesus also affirmed and believed in eternal life. They preached it to the masses, and they preached that eternal life is attainable through none other than Christ and Christ alone. Even those that did not know him as Lord and Savior still believed in eternal life, such as the rich young ruler who came to him and asked, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, it also goes without saying that Jesus himself preached eternity and eternal life. Eternal life exists, just as Jesus exists, just as you and I exist, just as so many things of which we're not aware of exist. Yes, eternal life exists, even if it is not described in detail. You see, the scripture affirms the existence of eternal life and tells us, if only in figurative language, of its reality. So why doesn't the Bible go into more detail about eternal life? Why isn't it laid out specifically and in depth within the pages of scripture? Well, it's not because God wants to hide something from us, or that he's being secretive, but rather because we're limited in our understanding of eternal things. We're limited in our understanding of eternity as a whole, and we were given to know as much as was necessary to peer into eternity with eyes of faith. Now, eternal life also exists, even though we don't understand it fully. I will be the first to admit, I don't understand all the nuances and details and complexities of eternity. If we're honest with ourselves, every believer will acknowledge that they still have questions when it comes to eternity. Some wonder where it is that they'll spend this eternity. Others wonder what we will do there. Others still inquire whether we'll be aware of the passage of time or whether eternity will seem like a moment in and of itself. To be honest, there are more unknowns when it comes to eternity than there are knowns. But this does not impede us as believers to believe in the words of Jesus Christ. I give them eternal life. Jesus not only promised that he will give us eternal life, but implied that he is able to do just that. You know what? That's good enough for me. Jesus said it. I believe it. He promised that it is attainable. And as such, I must strive to enter by the narrow gate of which he spoke. Even if many people don't believe in eternal life, it doesn't change the fact that it exists. The unbelief of few or many does nothing to change reality. There are many who did not believe that the earth was round, that if they sailed far enough, they would one day fall off the edge of the world. But even though there were many who believed in a flat earth, it did nothing to change the reality that the earth is round. And sail as they might, they would never have fallen off the edge. Now, there are also many who did not believe in the prophecies concerning Christ, yet they came to pass. Many who did not believe in the divinity of Jesus, yet he is God. Many who did not believe that he would rise again on the third day, yet he rose. And there are still many who do not believe that Jesus will return, yet he is near. You see, the unbelief of men never once changed the reality of a thing. And the unbelief of men will by no means change the reality of eternal life. Now, the second thing these five words can teach us is that eternal life is beautiful. Jesus will not give us ugly or worthless things. He is not a snake oil salesman. He's not trying to talk us into a timeshare. When Jesus promises us something, it is everything that he promised. And when he promises us eternity, we are guaranteed that it will be beautiful. The beauty of eternal life is guaranteed by the character of Christ, by the works of Christ, by the teachings of Christ, by the presence of the saints, the great cloud of witnesses with Christ, and by its length and span. Yes, the length and span of eternity itself guarantee that it will be a beautiful place. While in these bodies of flesh, we always live with the fear that the beautiful moments are short-lived and infrequent, passing far too quickly and eventually forgotten. The beauty of eternity is that it is, well, eternal. It is forever, a place where the joy and the peace and the presence of God are never ending. There will be no fear that eternal life will be short-lived, or that the moments of beauty and utter wonder will be infrequent. They will last forever. A human concept that we as humans in the human mind has yet to grasp. Eternity. It's a word to us. But it is also a reality that as yet we cannot fully grasp. Now, since Jesus has the authority and the power to give eternal life, it only goes to reason that he gives eternal life on his terms. The Bible tells us unequivocally that eternal life is given to those who first and foremost believe in Jesus Christ. We all know the famous passage, the one that's held up at ball games and certain events time and time again, but there are other passages just as relevant and eye-opening as John 3:16. We will go through a couple of them just to understand the importance of believing in Jesus, and we will begin, why not, with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:24 says it a little differently. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 6:40 shows another version of it. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Bible also tells us that eternal life is given to those who died in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says it this way, now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 says it this way, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him." As we continue this journey into eternal life, we must also understand that eternal life is given to those who have Christ. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says it this way, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Simple, straightforward, and absent of any ambiguity. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So what does it mean to have the Son? To have the Son is to have him as Savior. To have the Son is to have him as friend. To have the Son is to have him as Master. It is not just a knowledge of him, but a surrender to him, a dethroning of the self, the flesh, the will, the ego, the nature of man, and a placing of Christ on the throne of our hearts. Now, before the angry emails and phone calls start pouring in, I'm simply quoting Scripture. So if you have an issue or a problem with the words that I speak, I would urge you to complain to the author of the Bible and not to me. I am a messenger, one who relates the truth of Scripture to you without fear of reciprocity or underlying need for acceptance. This is Scripture. This is truth. And though we might not like it, though it might feel bitter to the taste, it is the truth nevertheless. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Period. Now the Word also tells us that those who repent will have everlasting life. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says it this way, "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." Now, I know repentance isn't popular, but it is necessary. It is a prerequisite for everyone who desires to have fellowship and communion with God. Repentance, as we all know, is turning away. It is turning away from darkness, from sin, from unrighteousness, from hypocrisy, from duplicity, and towards righteousness and towards truth and towards Christ. One cannot claim salvation and remain in the sinful state that they were in before they encountered Christ. It's just that cut and dry. Heaven, eternal life, is reserved for the righteous, and everlasting life is given to them. Matthew 25:46 says it this way, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." So who is righteous? The person who does good works? The person who holds to a certain denomination? The person who calls Jesus by his Hebrew name? The righteous are those who receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. So many today have their own self-righteousness, and as such refuse the righteousness of Christ, making the same mistake as the Jews of old did. In and of our own righteousness, we will fall. But we will stand, and perpetually so, in the righteousness of Christ. We are made righteous through his righteousness, and not of our own self-righteousness. It's a lesson that we must all learn and keep at the forefront of our minds. We are made righteous through his righteousness, and not of our own self-righteousness. Although there are other examples, of those who have everlasting life, such as those who fulfill the word, those who have a covenant with Christ, those who serve Christ. There is one more attribute under the heading, who inherits eternal life, or who does Jesus give eternal life to, that I want to cover today, and that is those who remain faithful and who endure until the end. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 says this, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There are a few words here that we need to really focus on. And they are this: eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Now, there are other scriptures that we can go into, such as Revelation 2:10, who says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you might be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Or Revelation 2:16, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We need to remain faithful. We need to endure. We need to have a patient continuance in doing good, seeking for glory and honor and immortality. Now, all these things that I've outlined, all the terms by which Christ will give eternal life, are not individual or separate groupings. We cannot hope to fulfill one of these things, but we must fulfill all of these things. You cannot fulfill the word of God unless you believe in it. You cannot believe unless you live righteousness. You see, all these things are interconnected and must be evident in our lives as believers. The truth, dear friend, is that none of us, no matter how many good works we've done, how many sermons we've preached, how righteous we think ourselves to be, none of us deserve eternal life. Through Christ Jesus, however, we have received it as a gift. Jesus has done everything he needed to do. Now it is up to us to do what the Word of God requires, that we might be with him and be possessors of everlasting life. Until next time, may you love the truth. May you live the truth. May you speak the truth, and may you spread the truth. This has been Truth Be Told, and as always, may God bless you.